pray for me, remember me. I'm very nervous, obviously. And, you know, it's a very humbling thing to try to preach. It's very humbling, especially to be here. Over 33 years, I heard many preachers preach, many great sermons. And had many pastors who all brought a little something different. And what will start out today, there was a particular sermon I heard close to 35 years ago. And it opened my eyes to something that I'd never quite seen before. Of course, when I first came here, I really didn't understand God. I didn't understand what's going on. And it took a long time for me to gradually, and God was very patient with me, to understand the things I need to understand. And on that particular day, about 35 years ago, there was a sermon that opened my eyes to, I could see the Bible as it taught us. I could see the instruction and the goodness of it. But on that particular day, it opened another facet for me. I saw the Bible in a whole new way. I saw it as something that has been described, and we've heard, as a love letter. A letter from God telling us how much He loved us, how much He understood us, how much He cared for us. It showed me that the Bible was real, that it was alive, and it would speak to you. Not just learn it like a textbook, but it would speak to you individually as a person for who you are, both good and bad. And so, we'll go to Luke 17. And verse 12, and it's about the 10 lepers. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. On that particular day, I heard the word, the emphasis of the sermon was, Where are the 9? Where are the 9? But as today, God is wanting us to see something a little different. See, the funny thing that happened when I was called to preach, God has stuck two words in my head constantly for the last year, and that is surrender and proclaim. I'm not here to teach you today. I'm here to proclaim something to you. And that's a little different. And it might not be easy to see, especially if you know me, especially if you've heard me. But he says, where are the 9? Now, here's the thing. As we look at these verses, we see that these people were lepers. And we know that within the Bible that symbolically leprosy represents sin, separation from God. Because lepers were put apart. And that is what you are when you're lost, when you're separated from God, when you don't know God, you are put apart. You are a leper in the terms of this symbolism. And that's what it's saying, these 10 lepers. But then, they stood afar off and they lifted up their voices. See, they saw something. They saw something. And lots of times, and especially now, I am reminding God wants me to remind His people of what they already know. Remember when you stood afar off, and then off in the distance you see Jesus? Off in the distance. See, and God honors the heart. God honors the heart. It's important because we need God to do that, because if He honored our actions, we would be in major trouble. We would never know God. We would never have heaven as our future home. God honors the heart. And what can the heart do except one thing? It is to seek God. That is what the heart can do. It can seek God. It can desire God. When you're lost, it can seek, it can desire to want to be together with God. And once you are saved, the heart should desire to be in fellowship with God. We should be in fellowship with God. And here it says that they lifted up their voices and they called Jesus a special word. It's a very special word to me. And I love this word. They say, Master. See, they knew that He was here and they were here. He was holy and they were not. They said, Master. That is an act of humility. That is an act of the heart to desire to see God for who He is. Master, have mercy on us. As a person who has been saved, did you not say this thing? Did you not say in some manner or form, God, have mercy on me. God, you desired God. God put that burden on your heart because you need God to help you to find God. You do not know the path. There is a darkness between us. We cannot see this path between natural and spiritual. We must have God to hold our hand and take us along that path. That's the difference between truth and religion. Religion says, I will do it. I will accept the Lord. I will find my way. I will do good things. But let me tell you, those all fall short of the glory of God. It is God that can only provide salvation. But He requires two things of us. And through these things are through faith in Jesus Christ, even if you do not understand that. When I was saved, I did not understand that, but I had the same faith. We must acknowledge our sins. We must repent of our sins. I have taught for a number of years now, and it's clear to me. Within the tabernacle environment, there was two altars. There was the altar in which you sacrifice for your sin, which we must all do to be reconciled with God. But do you remember when you asked to be saved? You did repent, didn't you? You did ask for forgiveness, and then you were still waiting. Because there is a second altar in the tabernacle. In the outermost room, separating between you and the inner room of the tabernacle. There is a second altar in which you must surrender. Do you remember that moment? That second before you were saved in which you surrendered? You'd already asked for forgiveness of sin. You've already done. You'd already cried. You'd already prayed. But there was something left, wasn't there? You needed to surrender to make that sacrifice so that God would find a sweet, savory smell to His satisfaction. So, with these 10 lepers, He said, have mercy on this. And he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They acknowledged God. They had faith in Jesus himself, personally. God incarnate, physically right there, Jesus Christ. They did exactly what he said in faith. And they were cleansed. That, my friend, is salvation. That is salvation. And we're going to what God wants you to hear. We'll get there. I sometimes go wrong the wrong way. And forgive me if I'm not doing exactly what... And I ask you to pray that God would help me take me out and put him in. They were cleansed. You remember that day? You remember that moment? You haven't had a moment like it. That moment when you went from darkness to light. When you went from the old person to the new person. And you can't really describe it. Because it's beyond our comprehension. You just know it happened, don't you? You just know it happened. And for some of us, it took time for us to have confidence in that. We knew it happened. But we didn't totally understand it. And we had, whether it was Satan, whether it was ourselves, or whether it was life itself that might put doubt into our mind, it didn't take away the fact that this thing happened, did it? We've been taught in this church it was a milestone, haven't we? And indeed it was. It was the milestone of our lives. So as we go through this event, and see, this isn't just a story. This isn't a parable. This is something that happened. This is something that happened to real people in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. And so, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. But what does Jesus say? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Almost 41 years ago, it'll be 41 years ago in March, I've been saved. And I came into this totally blind and totally dumb. And I watched and I observed. And it has broken my heart so many times. And if it's broke my heart, what about God? You know, sometimes we can't truly understand God, but we can understand the things that God said. And let's remember one thing. And that's about the shortest verse in the King James Version of the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You think God doesn't care? He does. Jesus wept. God wept. So today we have to ask that question. Our churches are hurting. People that are saved, we've seen hundreds of people saved in this church over the last 40 years. And I don't, whatever's happened in the last 7, we see hundreds of people. Where are they? Where are they? Doesn't mean they weren't cleansed. Doesn't mean they weren't saved, because in this set of verses, we see this picture. These 9 lepers were cleansed. But who appreciated it? Who honored God afterwards? Who went with it? Who rejoiced in it? Where are the 9? breaks my heart, and I know it breaks yours. But I want to encourage them. The water's better over here. The water's better. I know it's hard. I know there's this and I know there's that. Because I've been through it. Jesus went through it. But it's worth it. It is our lot in life. It makes us constructive. It makes us what God would have us to do. Because in verse 19 it says, "And Jesus, he said, Jesus said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Once we are saved, our body and our souls are in a brutal fight. The body, the mind, says, "Hey, let's go on out there. Let's go see the football game. Let's go have a little party. Let's go do this. Let's go do that." And the soul's going, "Hey, wait a second. We're the Lord's." And the body's going, "Hey, but you know, I'm going to have a little fun over here." And so we're fighting against each other. But in this case, the one leper came back to Jesus, didn't he? The only way a saved person can be whole is to follow God. Today's word is faithful. You've been a member of this church. You've heard that man right there tell us time and time again, faith is the victory. Now, I've thought about that many, many times. And over the decades, I slowly got a little piece of it. And I slowly got a little piece of it. And I slowly got a little piece of it. And I'm still getting a little piece of it. Faith is the victory. Now, I'm going to split words just a little, because sometimes language is hard. We use a word to mean different things. Church is a prime example. And with faith, I'm going to split just a little bit between faith and faithful. Faith is when we believe God. And I don't care what he says. I see too many saved people say, they'll take the Bible and they'll go, "Oh, well, that doesn't really mean that, because they were dumb back then." Or this or that. Or they'll say these things and I just shake my head. God wasn't dumb. And neither was man. We're no smarter today than we were in the beginning. We've compounded our knowledge. Event off event off event, but we're no smarter. And certainly God hasn't changed. So we have faith, which is the victory. See, because when you are saved, you have to have faith. But once you are saved, we need to be faithful. And that is acting upon that faith. That one leper acted upon that faith. He was faithful. And this is where the difference for me personally, from me having taught and now me having to, and I hardly can even say it, preach. There's a path difference. See, faithful. Here's the beauty of today. And it's quite my privilege. Because I said, God has put two words in my mind, surrender and proclaim. And I'm going to proclaim. God, message to you today is how much He appreciates your faithfulness. You're listening to to the Word. You're honoring His church even when it's hard. That's faithful. How wonderful is it that God appreciates us? Isn't that nice? We know we are so blessed to be children of such a wonderful God. He loves us. He has compassion for us. And today, He wants us to know He appreciates our faithfulness. It's not easy. It's not easy. Because Jesus Himself asked, "Where are the nine?" My heart breaks for the nine. I would never contend. I'm a good person. I would never contend. I have been good in what I need to do or should have done for God. But I would contend. I have tried to be faithful, even in my failings. You are here today because your heart's desire is to be faithful. I find that wonderful. I find that wonderful. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the talents, where He gave five and to one, He gave two to one, and one to another. And so he that received five talents came and brought the other five talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more." He's put them to good use. He gave them this ability and he used it. And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And the second one did the same thing. He took his two talents and he got two talents. And he said to him, he was a good and faithful servant. See, it doesn't matter what you are able to do or not able to do. See, because God is in control of that. He gives you ability. He gives you blessings. He gives you opportunity. Whether it's many or whether it's few, it's irrelevant because that is the lot that God has given you. That is what He told Peter when Peter said, "Well, what about John sitting there?" And Jesus told him, "It is not your business if he sits there all day long. That is my business. It is not our business of what you do or I do. Or do. None of that. What matters is, am I faithful? Are you faithful to the talents that God has given you? Are you faithful?" To be faithful, you must have faith. I can't say that I have been faithful to all the talents the Lord has given me. But hopefully, and I believe I have been faithful at least with some of those. It is my desire that God Himself look upon me and say, "Thy good and faithful servant." See, I love the Lord. I love God. He has been so good to me. And I know He has been good to you. Most of you I know your lives. And to be a faithful servant of God is so much better than anything else. Is it the most important thing to be saved? Yes, it is. But He let us live for a purpose. If it was just about going to heaven, as soon as you were saved, He'd have killed you. He'd have taken you home just like Enoch. He'd have translated you. But see, He has purpose. He has purpose for our lives. And it's not necessarily for us to understand what that purpose is. Please understand. That God is pleased with your faithfulness. We all need encouragement. In these times when so many of us, and us being children of God, we're too caught up with the world. We're too busy doing something else. We want to point a finger and say, well, those hypocrites here, those hypocrites here. I think what Zig Ziglar said, well, one more won't hurt. One more won't hurt. We're not perfect. We're not without sin. But the question is, what is our hearts? Do we love the Lord? What did He say to Peter? Lovest thou me? He broke his heart. Lovest thou me? That's what Jesus said directly to Peter. Lovest thou me? Then be faithful. Be faithful to me. Feed my sheep. We all know. I've said for many years, I have the greatest secret there ever was. I have the greatest secret this world will ever know, and that's about God. And nobody wants to know. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to hear it. I want to tell them, if you know me, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it a long time because it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It is the greatest thing happening to me that God is with me. And for those of you that know God, it is the greatest thing in your life too. I would encourage you to continue being faithful. It is the only thing, as Jesus said, what He said in there was, it made him whole. It made the leper whole. The only way to be whole is to be faithful. Because that satisfies the body. The soul is fine. It is housed with the Holy Spirit. It is holy. It is perfect. But the body is not. So the body needs to go to God and to be whole. That gives us satisfaction. That gives us purpose in life. That fulfills us. Because the rest of it's vanity. Ecclesiastes tells us that in no uncertain terms. The rest of it is vanity. It comes and it goes. My brothers and sisters, please know that God honors your faithfulness. I'm through. Brother Dyer, would you like to have a song?